Let's bow together this morning. Want to pursue and enjoy God's best, and that is his desire, that we would possess the best that he has for us to enjoy. Let's all pray together. Our Lord and our God, we want nothing less than the best that God has to give. Lord, deliver us from our foolishness in pursuing lesser things and ignoring the great goodness of God which you lavish upon us. Lord, help us, we pray, to be a people who pursue what you would have us to pursue, that we would do thy will. So, Lord, give us victory over our flesh. Give us victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. And let us indeed walk with God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Thomas Watson, the Puritan, said, Religion does not banish all joy. And you know that, don't you? Religion doesn't banish joy. There is, yes, a seriousness, but it is without sourness. There is a cheerful liveliness without lightness, hollowness. When the prodigal was converted, we read that they began to be merry. Who should be more cheerful and joyful than the people of God? They are no sooner born of the Spirit, but they are heirs with Christ and heirs to a crown. You see, men and women, as we said before, it is possible to live your whole life. It is possible to live your whole life and come to the end of the road and realize you've wasted it all and you've lived foolishly, pursuing the wrong things, or even walking down the broad road your whole life and getting to the end and realizing it was too late. If only you would have trusted in Jesus Christ 40, 50, 60 years ago and enjoyed walking with God and enjoyed peace with God. It is possible to live your whole life and put your ladder against the wrong building and keep climbing the ladder to get to the top and to realize there's nothing there. Your ladder was against the wrong building. It is also possible to live these few years on earth joyfully. It is possible, and I'm even going to go beyond that, it is God's will for you to enjoy these few lives that we have here to live and to walk in. Now, we commenced this study with a very important observation 3 weeks ago, and that is the foundation of lasting joy is not found in possessions, but it's found in a relationship. The foundation of all joy is found in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Psalm 16, verse 11, in what? In thy presence. You know it, don't you? Is fullness of joy. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And that is God's will for you and I, to walk in his presence. We want to be joyful. Nobody wants to be miserable. But the reality is, and maybe this is you, sometimes we never think about joy. We don't endeavor to experience the joy that God has for his people. And if you don't aim for it and endeavor to enter into it, you will never enjoy it. You will never experience it. And so if you never give any thought to living with joy, you will undoubtedly miss out on it. You will. You'll go through your whole life complaining and being miserable and going to the grave, heavy of heart, because you never experienced what God speaks about in the Bible of genuine joy. You never made any effort. You never tried. You never prayed for it. Well, maybe once or twice. You didn't live to pursue it. Some other people might feel guilty about experiencing joy because they assume if you're a Christian, well, you have to be very solemn all the time. And it's all about duties and rules, and you're missing out. There's another group. They're just too filled with the busyness and stress of life to think that joy is even a possibility. It is God's will for us to be a joyful people, but not to be joyful at any cost. You understand that. You know, I was reading this morning, and let me just take you to the portion I read this morning because it is rather applicable, actually. If you turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, and I was in chapter 7 this morning. Jeremiah chapter 7, the verse 8. And here's a people who were under the, were of the understanding that God would have them to be happy and joyful, and so they pursued every passion, every desire they had to be happy. And God said that was wrong. So Jeremiah 7, the verse 8. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will ye steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? Do you understand that? The Lord says you go and you pursue your pleasures. You lie to get your own way. You steal to have what's not yours because you want it. You murder because other people are inconvenient to you. You commit adultery because of the lust and the passion of your flesh. You swear falsely to persuade others to trust you. You worship the pagan gods with all of its sin and ungodliness. And then, verse 9, you have the cheek to come into my house, God said. You have the cheek to come into my house and say that God has delivered me so that I can enjoy all these abominations. And the idea of deliverance there is to be delivered from their enemies, delivered from Egypt, delivered from Assyria, delivered from enemies, delivered from ill health, delivered from everything that enables you to live and breathe so that you can indulge in sin. And God makes it clear here, this is evil. Now maybe you sit in God's house today and you're thinking to yourself, well, God has spared me to this day, delivered me from death, delivered me from problems so that I can enjoy all the abominations of life. Well, no. It is the Lord's will for us to be a joyful people. That does not mean we pursue everything that is in disobedience to the Word of God. So this morning, we want to proceed to look at the subject of joy. And I want to, first of all, define joy for you. That's important. We want a definition of what joy is. And so, I'm going to get you to check yourselves. You all look very sleepy this morning. I can see that in your faces. Maybe it's too warm in here, I don't know. But you're all sleepy. So I'm going to get you to engage your mind for a minute or two. Think to yourself here for a moment. What is joy? What actually is it? Now what would your answer be? Would you say, well, you can get joy. You can get joy by walking with God. That's not defining what joy is. That's telling me where to get it. You can get it by walking with God. You might say, okay, well, you lose joy if you live in sin. But that's not telling me what joy is. That's telling me how to lose it. Listen, if I told you to go and get me a dog's leg, you might be puzzled at that. What do you mean?
Well, if I told you where to get it, go to the hardware shop, that wouldn't really help you. You still wouldn't know what a dog's leg is. Well, you might think you know what a dog's leg is, and you don't get them at hardware shops. So me telling you where to get it isn't helpful. I could tell you how to misuse it and destroy it. You could leave it lying outside, and that'll ruin it. But you still don't understand what it is. So there's no point in me telling you where to get joy or how to lose joy. I need to tell you what it actually is. And just in case you're wondering, a dog's leg is a carpenter's tool. And it's used to extract dust from certain kinds of joints and wood. All right. But can you see the difference? I defined what it is, and then you understood it. And now we can then proceed to find where to get it and how to keep it or ruin it. So let's think about joy. What is joy? And the answer is very simple, isn't it? What is joy? Very simple. It's an emotion. Nothing profound about it. It's an emotion of great delight. And here's the thing. God has so designed and wired men and women and children so that we can experience this thing called joy. And it puts a smile on your face. And it does you good. And God has made us so that we can have that. God didn't make us like robots who just go through our daily tasks. He didn't make us to be bent over in mournful sadness all the time. No, He's wired us to experience this thing called joy. Now, the Bible talks about joy. The Bible talks about happiness. The Bible talks about gladness. The Bible talks about being merry. And those are all different words. Do they all mean different things? Well, just to help us understand this, some people will say that joy, is this godly thing, and no matter what your experiences are, you can experience this joy thing. It's a thing from God, all right? That is not a fair definition of what joy is. It's not. You might turn around and say, well, when the Spirit of God comes into you, He gives joy. And that's true. But let me tell you this. We've read the verse on several occasions in Hebrews 11, where Moses is commended for not enjoying the pleasures of sin. So joy there is referred to living in sin. That is not godliness. Okay. So joy is not only this thing that God gives you and that's it. You can get joy of sinful things as well. Furthermore, what about happiness? Sometimes happiness is expressed as being a worldly thing. It gives you happiness, but it's not real. That's what's often said. That's not true either. Because 1 Peter 3 in the verse 14 says, if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. That's not worldliness, that's godliness. That's your expression of faith. If you're able to suffer for righteousness and be happy about it, that's not sin. That's not shallow. That's not hollow. That's godliness. Or about gladness? Well, gladness and joy are interchangeable in the Word of God. What about merry? Being merry, does that only mean you're eating, drinking, and being merry? Is that only found in drinking dens of iniquity? No, not at all. God commanded His people Israel to be merry. He didn't mean to be drunken. When the prodigal returned, I quoted it a moment ago, when the prodigal returned, we are told that they began to be merry. It's not sin. So, joyfulness, happiness, gladness, merriment, mirth, whatever, those are all emotions. Emotions of great delight. They are essentially our emotional responses to things that please us. That's what it is. And that's important to understand here. Now, I know sometimes I go to great lengths in trying to differentiate happiness and joy, and I'm not so sure the Bible makes such a big difference. There's no doubt a nuance in each of them.
But there's no doubt that they're all simply references to an emotional response to something that gives us pleasure. So here's the big question then this morning. How do we get joy? We know what it is. But what's our source of joy? How do we get it? Because you're living, maybe for the past month, or the past year, or your whole life, and you'll be hard pushed to say there's much that you found joy in. You open your Bible, you don't find much joy in it. You go down to pray, you don't always stand up filled with joy. You come to God's house, you spend time with God's people, you're not experiencing much joy. Something wrong. There's something wrong there. So I want to take some time here to think about where to get joy. And I need to go back to that verse in Hebrews 11:25 again. You don't have to turn to it because you know it. Where Moses was commended for not choosing the enjoyment of the sins of this world. Rather, he chose to suffer with his people. And so we're told there that there is a joy found in sin. You can go out and sin today. You can go out with people and do whatever you want to do, which is contrary to the word of God, and you will have some joy in it. You might go down the pub, have a bit of joy. You might go to a nightclub, have a bit of joy. You might live in adultery and immorality. You might experience some joy. Bible says it. Moses was wise in that he did not choose to pursue that kind of joy. We just read about Solomon. He pursued everything here in Ecclesiastes 2, and he found it all to be empty. You see, here's the point. You can pursue all these sinful things, everything that the Word of God prohibits. You can pursue those things, and you might, for a moment or two, find some joy in them, but they are always, 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 always disappointing. I know people. You should have known better. But they walked away from the Lord. Chose sinful paths. Boasted for a long time about how happy they were in this wayward lifestyle. Some years passed by, and in a rare moment of great honesty, he said, David, it's the greatest regret of my life when I walked away from God. Because the pleasures of this world are always, the joy of this world is always disappointing, and you know that. So do I. Solomon tried it and said it was vanity. But the Bible speaks of a joy that is not so superficial, that's not so hollow, that's not disappointing. There's a joy when you experience it. It's not disappointing. But it's satisfying. Let me read a verse to you to emphasize it. Those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing, with everlasting joy that will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Now, did you get that verse? Can you see the language there? Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them. That's what God offers. Not some disappointing or brief joy, but it's something that's substantial and lasting. And it's good and satisfying. And so, there are many ways to find joy. And let me list several with you, because there are wholesome things that you and I can participate in whereby we'll find joy in them. For example, we can find joy in each other. That's what the Bible says. As you interact and as you spend time with people, you can find joy in friendships.
just in case you think I'm being rather frothy and light, turn to Proverbs in chapter 5. Proverbs 5. Same author, but speaking in a different tone altogether. Proverbs 5 and verse 18. Let thy fountain be blessed, and here's our word, rejoice. So God says there's something to rejoice in here, and on this occasion it is with the wife of thy youth. Now, I know that's been very specific there in verse 18, chapter 5. I know that's been very specific there about your wife or your husband. But the point I want you to see is there are earthly relationships, friendships, parental, with your parents, with your neighbors, whatever, that you can rejoice in. There's nothing wrong with literally having joy in a relationship with someone, as long as it's right and proper. So keep that in mind. Also, the Bible makes it very clear that there is joy in children. It doesn't always feel like that. I can tell you now, I'm thinking on, well, actually we're in Proverbs, so let's go to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. And the verse 24. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. And he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Now, that verse has been very specific. It says, the father of a righteous son or daughter shall greatly rejoice. Solomon says that elsewhere. The wise son maketh a glad father, but a son of folly is the heaviness of his mother. And what that means is a foolish son or daughter brings great heaviness, but a good and godly son brings great joy. So those passages have been very specific, yet you go to Psalms, like Psalm 127, and it speaks about the blessing of children and the joy they bring. So there is no doubt there is joy to be found in a relationship with children and parents. No doubt about that. That doesn't mean every parent knows this. That does not mean that every second of every moment of your day will be absolute bliss. As I've made the illustration before, sometimes at 4 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock comes and you're wondering why you haven't got much sleep, and there might be several other little bodies in your bed that shouldn't be there. And you might think to yourself, oh, isn't that just lovely? Well, I can assure you, after the third or fourth night, it is not lovely when you're deprived of all sleep. So I'm making the point here, and the Bible says that yes, children are a blessing, friends are a blessing, there is joy to be found in relationships with others, but don't be foolish. Don't make those things your God. They're filled with trouble and difficulty too, but there's joy to be found in them. And we should pursue in every relationship to have joy. Listen, there's joy in the harvest. We don't have time to look at it, but Isaiah 9 talks about the joy of harvest, the joy of having food, the joy of being able to feed and eat and rejoice in that. There's joy in that, men and women. Can I also show you that there's joy in living a godly life? We're in Proverbs. Let's stay in Proverbs. Go to chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and the verse 13. Happy. And again, let me just mention this. You see that word happy? It's the word Asher. Blessed. Now, we're all familiar with Asher's bakery. And you know that's a tribe of Israel. Asher was one of the sons of Jacob, the tribe of Asher. It means happy. It means blessed. So whenever you read the word happy in the Bible, it's the word Asher, mostly. So, Asher, happy is the man that what? Findeth wisdom. And the man that getteth understanding. So, understand this, okay? There's the word happy. It is not worldliness. It is not vain. It is not frothy. It's not hollow. This is God's will. You can be happy, and happy is the man that findeth wisdom. We ought to pursue that which God shows us, and there is where wisdom is found. Go to chapter 14 with me. Chapter 14 and the verse 21. 14:21. And I'd encourage you to write these down, or I can text them to you later, or whatever. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. You see, that's godless again. It's godly to be wise. It is godly to be merciful on the poor. And there is a happiness that comes from that. Go to chapter 16 and the verse 20. 16:20. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. You can be happy when you trust in the Lord. Obviously. Go to chapter 29. Chapter 29 of Proverbs, verse 18. And listen, I'm only picking a few here. You can take a concordance sometime and look at every verse in the Bible that talks about how to be happy. And you'll be there for a long time. Proverbs 29 and the verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. We all know that verse. Read the rest of it. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And we don't have to go any further, but I can easily multiply verses here. Like John 13:17, where it speaks about salvation and our service and producing humility. All of those things, John says, make us happy and give us joy. Listen, there is no doubt. The Word of God makes it clear that godliness produces happiness. If you live in a godly fashion, if you live the way that God has designed you to live, pursuing wisdom, exercising mercy, trusting in God, rejoicing in Him, serving the Lord, serving others, rather than serving yourself, you will find that that is the path to joy. That's it. Or at least that's part of it. Now, I don't want to leave the book of Proverbs, because the pen man was Solomon. And you'll remember the time when the Queen of Sheba came to visit Solomon. You remember that? Why did she come? She came because she had questions for him, and hard questions that nobody else could answer. And she came, now listen to this. She came to Solomon, saw what he had, and she saw his servants. And here's what she said. And here's what, when you think about this, could anyone say this about you? The Queen of Sheba said about Solomon, happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants that stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. And here's what she meant. Solomon, you actually make other people happy. All the people that are under your influence, they're happy. Because of your influence. Because of how you behave. Because of your conduct, you are the very instrument in the hand of God that people enjoy to be around. You search your heart today. Would everybody say that about you? Could anybody say that about you? Happy are your neighbors. Happy is your family. Happy is your spouse because of you and what you're like and how you conduct yourself. Because you're so godly. You're filled with mercy. You're filled with wisdom. You're just like Jesus Christ. Or would the opposite be more true? Miserable are those that are around you. There's a real challenge here, men and women. There is a way to be joyful. And God makes it very clear. There are wholesome things to find joy in. Godliness is a way to find joy. Let me close by saying this. Hebrews 12 in the verse 2. Turn there with me. Hebrews 12 and the verse 2.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. And what that verse means is that there was something that gave the Lord such joy. He possessed this emotional, as a man, like you and me, he possessed this emotional experience, so much so that he endured the cross. And what was that emotional experience? What was it that gave God, Christ, such joy? And I'll put it to you like this, there's two things. And you find one in John 10, verse 11, where it says, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. When Jesus died, he did it for me. And the joy there is me. And the fact that in John 17, he speaks about being glorified with the Father. So here you have Jesus Christ, who's going to the cross, and for the joy that he would be glorified and his people would one day be glorified, would be plucked up out of sin and anchored with him in heaven forevermore. And because of that joy, he endured the cross and despised the shame. He suffered for us because he loved us. And he counted it all joy. You know, wasn't that striking? If the Lord was so joyful, and that joy enabled him to suffer greatly, we can't say much when we have the small trials of life and we complain. So, it is undoubtedly God's will for us to be a happy, joyful people, but not by pursuing sin and lust. Joy is our emotional response to that which gives us pleasure. And the Lord wants us to be a joyful people, but our joy must be in the Lord and the Lord's ways and that which is wholesome and that which is godly, because otherwise the joy that you pursue will be disappointing and hollow. And there's one man and one phrase that I have to say sums up my heart today, and it will sum up your heart. The words of Spurgeon. Just a dozen words. Here's what he said. O cheerful, happy, joyous people, I wish there were more of you. O cheerful, happy, joyous people, I wish there were more. By the time we finish this study, I want us to be a more joyful people. I'm not talking about being frothy and foolish. I mean genuinely enjoying what God has for us. Being like Christ. Even if we have to bear our cross and despise the shame, that we will do it. We will join our heart. Not a hypocritical smile put on our face. May the Lord enable us to enter into joy and to be like Christ, who was filled with joy. Let's take our hymn books.